and the Lord's blessings, and then again tonight. And someone said the Lord never has to do the same thing twice, and he doesn't. And someone said, you know, the last service I was in is one of the best services. The last message is one of the best messages. God just keeps over and over doing what he can do. I'm glad of that, aren't you? I'm glad the storehouse is not empty tonight. And I'm thankful for that. Well, I need your prayers. The Lord would help us tonight. If you've got a Bible with you, I want to read three verses that will be found in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, actually it's just two verses. Hebrews 11, it's verses 6 and 7. I want to read those two verses and then try to preach as the Lord would direct us tonight. Hebrews 11, verses 6 and 7. When you found your place, if you're physically able to do so, I invite you to stand with us. By standing, we're simply honoring and reverencing the reading of God's Word. When we read these two verses, if you're able to remain standing, we'll pray together. And again, I ask you humbly and sincerely to pray for us, the Lord would help us. Hebrews 11, verses 6 and 7. The Bible said, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we bow our hearts and our heads to you tonight, and thank you for being so good to us, and thank you for your blessings on us, and thank you for loving us and saving us and putting us in the family of God. I thank you for the good day, and I thank you for health and strength. I thank you for the opportunity to be in your house tonight. I thank you, Lord, for the church you planted here, for the good pastor, these that make up this local body, those that have come from other places. I thank you, Lord, tonight for the reading of the Scripture. I thank you for the portion of the Word of God you've directed our heart to. And I ask you now, Lord, as I endeavor to preach, that you'd touch me with that touch that man is not able to preach without. I pray for a few moments you'd hide me in the cross. Let me lose sight of myself. Immerse my mind and my heart and my spirit in the Word of God and in your will and in your ways. Give us unction and utterance tonight. I pray the Word of God would go forth from my lips in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. And I pray you prepare our hearts to receive what you say to us tonight. Give us hearing ears, receptive hearts, and obedient spirits. Awaken sinners to their need of you. Bring them to that place of repentance and faith. I pray you'd stir the heart of the saints. I pray we can leave here revived, refreshed, and renewed by the means of this service. Lord, do among us what we're not able to do for ourselves. Have mercy and help us tonight. Above everything, Lord, we ask that you'd get glory and honor into your holy and high name tonight. And what you're pleased to do in this service, in and through and for us, we'll thank you, we'll praise you, for I ask what I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so kindly for standing as we read the Word of God and prayed together. I want to talk about this man Noah tonight. More defined is actually Noah's day. But the Bible tells us here in Hebrews 11 that Noah, by faith, being warned of God. And then the Bible tells us in the verse prior that without faith it is impossible to please God. Verse 1 tells us what faith is, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Faith, where does faith come from? How do you pick it up? Where can you buy it? You can't get it anywhere except by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is not deciding you want something and then claiming it and calling it faith. Faith is God revealing to you His Word and then you responding to what God has said to you. I'm grateful for that, aren't you? Faith tonight. Thank God. Faith came to Noah, my friend, by the Word of God. God warned him of impending judgment. God warned Noah of the coming wrath that was to face the world that he lived in. Amen. Oh, what a world that Noah lived in. What a generation, my friend, that he lived in. God was going to destroy both man and beast whom he had created. But the Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah was delivered or spared or saved, if you'll have it, the same way, thank God, that we are, as far as from God's vantage point, by grace and through faith tonight. It's not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God, my friend, thank God, warned Noah. And faith is a gift tonight. Faith, God gives you faith. If He does not give you faith, you don't have any tonight. Are you hearing me? Thank God. And then faith has to be exercised by the individual once God gives it to us. God gives us faith, and then we respond, then we act upon that faith. Thank God, we exercise that faith. We do as Noah, moved with fear and prepared an ark for the saving of his house. Real saving faith is faith that acts. Thank God, saving faith is faith, my friend, that lays hold on the hope set before us, that lays hold on Christ. Faith is not just saying I believe something. Faith, hey God, brings us to that place that we fall on His mercy, that we fall on His love, that we trust Him, hey God, for our very life, amen, for our very salvation and deliverance, amen. Oh, hear me, friend. I was raised in a Baptist church all my life. My mother took me to the house of God in the womb. Thank God, and I went four times a week. Thank God, whether I wanted to or not, in my growing up years. Thank God, and then in summertime, every church within 20 or 30 miles that had a revival. Thank God, we went to that. Amen. Thank God. And so I had some ideas and beliefs about the Bible and what they were telling me. I didn't argue about it. Thank God. But real saving faith was when I, thank God, heard myself in my innermost being what God had to say to me, not just to the crowd, not just to the world, but what He had to say to me. And when I found out I was a sinner and that He was the only Savior of sinners, amen, and the only way I could get out from under the condemnation and the guilt and the judgment that I was under, I was to trust Christ. I was to turn from sin and trust Him and depend on Him and confide in Him and rest in Him and receive Him. That's when I, hey God, came to Him by faith. Hey God, and He saved me. Hey God, forgive me. That's the way it works tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, bless His name. By faith, Noah being warned of God. So we see in these scriptures tonight, we see Noah's faith, the faith that God gave him, and by the grace of God,
and the faith he exercised in God, thank God he was not destroyed with the rest of the world. Amen. Hallelujah. And then we see not only his faith, thank God, but we see his fear. Thank God, the faith caused him to move with fear. Amen. Thank God. He didn't say, okay, God, I believe you, and stay where he was at. Thank God, he went to hunt and go for wood. Amen. Thank God, I'm cutting down trees. Thank God, I'm preparing heart for the saving of his house. Thank God, he believed God. Amen. Thank God enough that he acted upon what God said. Are y'all hearing me? Amen. I remind you tonight that faith, thank God, it's not what you see with your natural eyes. Hallelujah. Faith is not even what you feel, thank God, with your emotions or your feelings tonight. Faith is taking God at his word and acting upon what he's told you to do. Thank God, it's a positive response out of what God has said. Hallelujah. Amen. And when you act upon faith, it will produce some feelings. Amen. They come later. Amen. But you're not saved by feelings. You're saved by faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Woo! Bless his name. And faith is believing God. Hallelujah. And saying, live or die, sink or swim. Hey, God, I'm going with you. I'm following you. I'm going to believe you. Hallelujah. Woo! Bless his name. Hey, God, can you imagine the crowd saying to Noah, why are you building an ark? What in the world are you doing building a boat? What in the world? Hey, God, you constructing a such, hey, God, my friend, a vessel. It's never rained. We're not near water. What's the matter with you, Noah? God has said, hallelujah. Amen. God had said, prepare an ark. God, give me the blueprint. God said, it's going to rain. God said, there'll be judgment. Faith, it's not following the crowd. Faith, it's not holding your finger in the wind and seeing which way a popular opinion blows. Faith is just taking God at his word and acting upon it. Hallelujah. Woo! Woo! But real faith and saving faith. Hallelujah. Although it's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. When you have real faith and saving faith, thank God, it becomes more real and it's more of a reality than anything else there is in the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. And faith is, first of all, believing he is. Hallelujah. You can't go no further if you don't believe he is. Hallelujah. And then secondly, believing he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So Noah, being warned by faith, moved with fear. Here's his fear. He believed what God said. He believed it so much it struck fear in his heart. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! And he went to working on a boat, on a building, amen, on a vessel. Are y'all hearing me? Woo! Hallelujah. Experts say Noah's ark could not float. It didn't meet the requirements. Amen. But that's the same crowd that said the Titanic couldn't sink. Hallelujah. And the Titanic sank and the ark floated. Hallelujah. Woo! Why? Because God gave the blueprint. God said it. Hallelujah. Never mind the experts. Take what God said. Hallelujah. Amen. And obeying God and having faith, it's not blind ignorance. It's not running around saying, I feel like this, or I feel like that, or I think this. It's taking God at His word. It's taking God understanding what He said to us and then acting upon it. Amen. And that's why it's so important to rightly divide the word of truth. Amen. That your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men. Hallelujah. Or a doctrine of man, but stand in the power of God on exactly what God says. Because there's many deceivers. They handle the word of God deceitfully. Amen. Hallelujah. They try to get you to believe something that it does not say. Hallelujah. Woo! Bless His name. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Thank the Lord. And that's true for salvation, and that's true for service. And that's true for life itself. Amen. Oh, this scripture, by taking heed to it, thank God we can save ourselves and them that hear us, according to the Apostle Paul. Well, how can you save yourself? By obeying what this Bible said. It's a lamp in our feet, a light in our path. Amen. It's a preventive medicine. Take it like it says, and you'll avoid some pitfalls. Thank God, in some areas in your life. Are y'all hearing me? Hallelujah. Well, what do you do when you done got in the pitfall? The Word of God is a powerful cure. It's not only a preventive medicine, but after you've got the disease, thank God it is a powerful cure. And thank God it'll save, it'll deliver, it'll get you out the condition you're in. Amen. Hallelujah. He moved with fear. So we have His faith, we have His fear, then we have, and that's not all we have. I know there's a lot more here than I'm preaching tonight. But in my limited ability tonight, we're talking about His faith, His fear, and then we're talking about His fortune. The Bible said He became an heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Hallelujah. Somebody said, didn't have much. Well, what did He have? He was an heir of righteousness. And by being an heir of righteousness, thank God He is preserved and protected in the flood. Hallelujah. Well, bless His name. Hallelujah. I call that a pretty good fortune, don't you? Amen. Everybody else, what they had, what they amassed, it all dissolved, it all went away, they lost it all. Hey God, but Noah had a fortune that the flood waters couldn't touch. Hey, bless His name. And Noah, hey God, became the heir of the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is the righteousness which is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Everybody has their own righteousness, or thank God what they think is their own righteousness. Amen. And they justify themselves, thank God, somehow because they're better than someone, not as bad as someone. Hey, hear me, friend. But all of our righteousness is as filthy rags in the eyes of God. Hey, hear me, friend. And Paul said, the nation of Israel had a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge, for they going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God, which is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only righteousness God accepts, is what He gives in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And only by faith in the Lord Jesus will God declare us right and impute to our account the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And that's the only way we can go to heaven. I'm not going because I preach. I'm not going because I've quit this or started that or joined here. Hey, I'm going to heaven tonight because the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been imputed to my life. Amen. Bless his name. An heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And it may seem that the people of God are poor, and they may be in world standards and in monetary measurements, but they're rich when the real things that count. Hallelujah. I've had the privilege to know some of those saints down through the years. Amen. First revival ever preached, 1973. Deacon in that church and his wife invited my family and I to have a meal with them. That deacon wore overalls at that time. Matter of fact, I don't reckon I ever saw him in anything other than a pair of overalls. They buried him in a pair of overalls. But they invited us to their humble home one night of that revival week, 1973. I was just 13-year-old preaching. Sat around that table that was just beans and potatoes. I was in Alabama preaching the night, I'd said beans and taters. You understand what I'm talking about, don't you? And they got to talking about the goodness of God and how God had helped them raise five boys during the Depression. Hallelujah. They got to talking about that time when they run out of flour because they'd been rationed and didn't have enough to make the boys biscuits the next morning. And they prayed that night before they went to bed. Because Miss Pearl said to Mr. Hal, if God don't help us, there won't be no biscuits for the boys in the morning. And they prayed before they went to bed that God would provide. He said, I got up before daylight the next morning to stoke the fire. And he said, while I was stoking the fire, I got a knock come at the door. And a widow woman down the road who lived by herself, I'm knocking at the door before daylight. She said, Mr. Bass, God woke me up this morning and said, you got more flour than what you need. Why don't you share it with the Bass family? Woo! Hey, God, I'll tell you, that's rich, hallelujah. That's heirs of the righteousness of God. Hallelujah, thank God. And we may not inherit much of this world, but why do we need it anyhow? It's going to perish. We're leaving out. We've got an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for us, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. There's no way. But I want to look for just a moment tonight. It won't take me long. My introduction's probably longer than my sermon, my message tonight. I want to talk to you just a moment tonight about the days of Noah. How it was in the days of Noah. And why are you preaching that tonight, preacher? Because like I preached Sunday morning, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be, I got in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And if we can look how it was in Noah's day, we can examine and see where we're at tonight. I want to say, first of all, in Noah's day, the crowd, the generation that Noah lived in was a crowd, and it was a generation, and it was a group of people that were living in indifference. Indifference. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 24, verse 37, verse 38, the Bible said, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For is as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. What were they doing? What they'd always done. What were they doing? Living like there was, no, my friend, no end. Thank God that tomorrow would be like today, that next year would be here, that things were always going to continue like they had from the beginning. Why of creation. Amen. Are y'all hearing me tonight? They lived indifferent. And that's where we are tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless his name. Oh, preacher, we don't have indifference. Well, why ain't the pews full tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Why is it not full Sunday? Why is there not a clamor? Why is there not a cry? Thank God from people today. I've seen even so come, Lord Jesus. Why is there not a readiness and a looking for his coming? Because folks are spiritually indifferent to the word of God, to the works and the will of God. Are you hearing me tonight? They just don't believe it. They just don't have it. They're too caught up in the cares of this life. They're too indifferent on the spiritual matters. The carnal, the material, the fleshly have taken over. Our priorities are out of place. But I tell you, he's going to come in days just like these when folks are indifferent to what's going on. Just an indifference. Amen. There's an indifference in the world. Amen. Eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. Is there anything wrong with eating? Anything wrong with drinking, marrying, giving in marriage? Not a thing. But when you do it with an indifferent spirit and an indifferent heart, when you do it outside of the will of God and not in light of his coming judgment, amen, and make your preparations for that hour, it is a sad time. And that's where we're at. The world is not interested in spiritual matters. They're interested in carnal matters. And it's not just society, it's the church world in general. Indifferent. I watch, I listen, as I go from place to place, week after week, and I hear pastors, and I watch them as they struggle to find a good week to have revival. And they'll say, I've had those that call, and I'd come, and hardly nobody show up, and he'd say, well, we'll change it next year. And we'll do a different week, and see, we can't get away from vacations. And then we do the next year, and it's the same thing. It's something else. And then they try it in the summer, and they'll try it in the fall, and they'll try it in the winter, and they'll try it in the springtime. Amen. And they'll try it the first part of the week or the last part of the week. Amen. And whatever they tried, thank God there's still a crowd. Amen. That will not show up. Amen. I understand a providential hindrances. I understand second and third shift jobs. I understand, and so does God. But we've raised a church generation that you have revival from Sunday to Wednesday, and they all ought to be there on Sunday and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And so they got two more nights that they're obligated, but they don't normally have, and somehow they just can't get there. Amen. Well, God help me tonight. Hallelujah. And it's either a ball game with the kids. It's, thank God, something going on here, something going on there. And we're indifferent to the things of God. And Noah's generation was indifferent. Thank God, hallelujah. They were just living life. God was second place. God was third place. Or no place at all. And they were just living like they were going to always live. Hallelujah. Now you can amen or oh me, it doesn't make any difference to me tonight. Hallelujah. That's where we're at. It's an indifference. Noah's generation were indifferent. Secondly tonight, Noah's generation was immoral. The immorality of Noah's day was terrible. All the way back to the book of Genesis and see what it says. Genesis chapter 6 verse 5 said, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." That's Noah's generation. "And so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man." They were not only indifferent, they were immoral. And indifference will make you immoral. Something's going to fill the vacuum and the void. And when you're indifferent, there's a spiritual vacuum and a void. And somebody's going to fill it with something. And our world has filled it with immorality. Verse 12 of Genesis 6 said, well, it's verse 11. "The earth was also corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth, behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth." It was an immoral day, an immoral generation. They couldn't blush at sin no more. That's our generation. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? I talked to a preacher 2 weeks ago, and he's 75 years old. And in his young ministry, he talked to an elder preacher that heard Billy Sunday preach in his hometown in a meeting in 1920. And Billy Sunday came to that town and preached under that tabernacle. And the first night, he passed a word on that crowd and he said, "It's a wonder that God does not judge this whole town." And the reason he said that statement was because that week, they had decided, society had decided, to raise the hem length of a woman's dress from her shoe top to just above her ankles. About 4 inches. And Billy Sunday thundered and roared and said, "It's a wonder God doesn't judge this place for its immorality." What would he think today? Amen. Is anybody listening to the preacher tonight? Hallelujah. You see, we have listened and watched and been around it so long, but we don't even realize how dirty and rotten and stinking a society is today, how immoral she has become. Anybody listening? Amen. The thought and the imagination of man's heart is only evil continually. Amen. Violence has filled the earth. Man has corrupted himself and corrupted the earth. Are y'all hearing me? And what a world we live in. What a nation we live in. Amen. That wants to save whales. Amen. That wants to save, thank God, animals and kill babies. Something's wrong somewhere. Are y'all hearing me? What a day we live in. Thank God, the immorality. And Isaiah said, thank God, they're laden with sin. Thank God, we're like Sodom, exceeding sinner. Oh, surely man's been sinners ever since Adam and Eve. But I want to tell you, in those generations, they became so corrupt. They became so vile. They became so wicked. And God said, "I repent. But I even made man." Immoral. Immoral. And our young generation thinks nothing of drinking alcohol and taking drugs. Amen. And they don't think anymore about having a physical relationship with the opposite sex. It's no more than buying a Coca-Cola. They don't think nothing about sharing their body with each other. It means nothing in this generation. As a matter of fact, the more you can be with, the more you can brag, amen. The more pins you can pin on, that's how society looks at it today. Are y'all listening to this preacher anyhow? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said, don't get too graphic. I'm not going to get off color. Hey, I'm not going to get ugly in the pulpit, but I want to preach. Hallelujah. Amen. Hey, God, and tell you that premarital relations and extramarital relations is called adultery and fornication in this Bible. I want to tell you what this Bible said, that marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God said he would judge. I want to tell you what this Bible said. Most sins are without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Hallelujah. And I can't help it what Hollywood says. I can't help what their movies say, their sitcoms. I can't help what the music, thank God, industry says, or how society votes on it. God's Bible is right. And God does not give his commands, his rules, his regulations. Because he's a cosmic killjoy. God gives us rules and regulations because to protect us. How to save us from ourselves. How to keep us from destroying ourselves. And immorality will destroy you. And that's now why our children now at 16 and sometimes 15 years old see no reason to live. Because they've tried everything that the world has had to offer and they've been immoral. What a day. Immorality. Amen. Oh, the immorality that was in Noah's day. Violence filled the whole earth. Amen. God help. Hallelujah. And I preached. I've been around. Well, I'm slowing down a little bit tonight. And I've been to the so-called church crowd where they poked fun and made life light. About adultery and fornication. And their talk and their mannerism was full of sexual indos. Are y'all hearing me? Amen. And I know what it's like to walk into the fellowship hall and the visiting preacher, not me, but the visiting preacher went into chains in his prophet's chamber and he had a naked mannequin laying in his shower, in his bathtub, and come out and everybody had a big life about it. Well, that's real meeting, ain't it, friends? I'll tell you what it is. It's immoral and it's wicked and it's out of hell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep your life clean. Keep your mouth clean. Keep your eyes clean. Hallelujah. Hug your wife and I'll hug mine. Hallelujah. And we'll live right before God and keep our lives clean. Anybody listening to me tonight? Hallelujah. Immoral in our day. Not only have men, boys and girls think nothing of giving themselves away, but now here's come along sodomy and lesbianism, and they practice it in the schools and they don't think twice about it. Hallelujah. God help us. And judgment is around the corner. And the storm clouds of God's judgment have already gathered on the horizon. And darkness and death for the immortal world is headed on a breakneck speed for the judgment of God. Oh, sinner tonight, if I was not saved, I'd find me a place to be. I'd run for refuge. I'd lay hold on Christ who has been set before me tonight before it was everlasting and too late. For just as Noah's generation went down, so will this one tonight. And I'm almost through. It was an indifferent world. It was an immoral world. In generation Noah's day was a day of ignorance. Matthew 24, verse 39. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. They were so indifferent, they were so immoral, that they became ignorant of what was happening. And they knew not till the fountains of the deep were broken up and the heavens opened up and gave rain. They didn't know. We're ignorant. God help us. Many folks today are spiritually ignorant. Some, according to 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 5, some are willingly ignorant. Same world that was destroyed by water is the same world that's now by the word of God preserved until the day of fire and judgment. But some of that crowd says all things are continued as they were. He said, oh no, God's going to judge this world just as he judged Noah's generation. And not by water this time, but by fire and brimstone. Is anybody listening to me tonight? Don't be willingly ignorant of it. Well, where is the promise of his coming? Why has this not taken place? The same reason God did not destroy Noah's generation when he got angry. The long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. God was ready to judge. God's wrath was kindled. God's wrath was full. God was ready to pour out judgment. But the long suffering of God waited until Noah could build that ark. And when he got her built, God said, come in and shut him in. And 7 days later, he let the floodwaters come. Is anybody listening to me tonight? Did you know every peg that Noah drove on that ark, he is not only saving his house, but he is condemning the world. Every time he drove a peg in that ark, thank God he was getting closer unto his family and him being preserved, but he is also getting closer unto putting another a peg in the coffin of this world. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Woo! Ain't you wasting your time preaching, preacher? No. Thank God I'm preaching tonight. Thank God. And them that will respond, thank God, and believe what God has said can be preserved. And them that don't, it's just another nail in their coffin. This service and this message tonight. Hallelujah. And so Noah's generation were ignorant of. They knew not. It took them unaware. It took them by surprise. God's long suffering waited. And don't mistake tonight, God's long suffering for his indifference. Don't think because God has not already judged, or God has not already poured out his wrath, or the Christ has not already come, or we've seen the end of faith, that God has taken a hands-off approach and said, just go your way. No, it's God's long suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. But surely the mercy door will close. Just as the ark, the door on the ark closed. And when God shuts it, that's it. There's a song they used to teach the young folks, the children, the kids. A little Sunday school song. One door and only one. And yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? There's only one or two places to be when it comes to the door tonight. On the inside or on the outside. When I think about the mercy door shutting on the Gentiles and our time being fulfilled, I think of that song I've heard, "Don't let that door of mercy close on you." It closed on Noah's generation because they were indifferent, because they were immoral, and because they were ignorant of what was about to take place. I wonder tonight where you're at. If you're not saved, prepare to meet thy God. And if you've been saved, but your life is not what it should be for Christ, and you've become indifferent, and you've been drunken on the cares of this life, overcharged with surfeiting in the cares of this life, you ought to come tonight and say, "Lord, help me to get my priorities straight." Everybody stand across the building, if you will. The altar's open to you tonight if you need to pray. I would encourage you to come. The Spirit of God has spoke. If you see your condition before the Lord tonight, you ought to come. Is it well with your soul? Is your heart right with God? That's what I'm asking tonight.